Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition. It's the 29th of February, 2012. And Jason, you've been here 45 minutes. We've been sharing and expressing different things that we're learning. And you've been at a recent conference. You preached a powerful message on Sunday. We're both reading the same book. We've been sharing some life experiences. It's like, where do I even start? So I'm going to start with a verse that the Lord put on my heart this morning. Actually, a few verses that is a good segue into why I'm blessed and excited to see and meet up with you each and every week so we can do our Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And then also another passage out of Psalms that I think is going to be mandatory reading for our listeners. It's just such a good one. But Psalm 5, listen to these words of King David. And as you know, I'm going through the chronological Bible, and I'm in the midst of a portion in 1 Samuel where, you know, it's about David and Saul and Samuel, and yet there's also references in Chronicles and in the Kings, and then they insert these Psalms that David quite possibly could append, or the events or the historical narrative that's mentioned in Samuel might refer to these Psalms. So whenever David wrote them, maybe at the time or later on, might be indicative of what went on during this time. But here's the first three verses of Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. I just think there's such an encouraging message there. But how it ties to you is I'm very encouraged. I get to see you oftentimes on Sunday, but it's like I look forward to our time together on Wednesday during Mark and Friends, and I wait really in expectations because I really never know what you're going to share or what you're going to teach on or explain or how you'll divide God's word or share some life stories. And I truly wait in expectation to kind of see and to meet up, and we have a great friendship going on, and it's kind of neat to see how God's working in and through you and in through you and Tasha and your family and through your church experience. I know recently you were in Peoria teaching. As you know, I sing you praises because I feel you're a godly man walking in cadence with the Lord's leading. You love God's scripture. You've been wired to preach and to teach and to divide his word. And so I'm kind of looking forward to what you have to say and share today, but I have a lot more to say before
no
I'll let you.
No pressure at all.
Yeah. I want to point out for our listeners, if you haven't taken the opportunity in the last few days to look out at the stars at night, I'm telling you, it's been incredible. Now, I live way out in the woods, and so it's very dark out here. So when I look up into the sky and see all the stars, it's like, wow, because I don't have all the city lights and so forth. But make it a habit once in a while to get out at night and just look at the stars. And on Monday night, I had Steve Carmichael come by. Thank you, God, for Steve. He's a good friend, and he's helping with the whole concert event at the Virginia Theater in March. Well, he was cooking out at the grill, and through some emails, he said, hey, do you want me to drop by and bring some burgers and stuff? And I'm like, how can I turn that off or down? Because I had to give him something. So he came by, and we were out on the deck looking at the stars because it was late at night. And he was like, wow, isn't this incredible? And then he shared a story. He goes, you know, Mark, there was a time I remember looking at the stars and saying, God, show me a shooting star. And I said, you know, I did that last night. And then he waited, and he didn't see one. And it was like God spoke into his heart and mind, said, isn't this enough? I mean, you look at the whole solar system, the skies, the planets, and you're like, wow, God, you're awesome. And he kind of laughed to himself because it was as if God said, you know, I could give you a shooting star, but isn't this enough? Yeah. And so anyways, God is able, and thank you, God, for the sky and your handiwork. And so, I've got to jump to Psalm 34. It's just so good, and I don't want to miss out on the blessing that God may have for somebody that'll read this today. Psalm 34, just maybe the first 10 verses. Now, the whole psalm is great, but listen to this, everyone, because you know how God can speak to you personally or corporately or just teach you a lesson or a life application. I think there's so much in these first, just say, 10 verses. And it's a great passage of praise, of connecting with God, of seeing him care for us. But listen to these words. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Can I get a sermon out of that one? I know
I could get an amen.
I could get you riled up with that one. Well, some other things to say and share, but I may wait till the end of the program to go there, because I wait in expectation, because we serve a great God who desires to bless us, to work in and through us, to reveal truth to us, to bring care, comfort, compassion into our lives. But I also wait, because when you come here, it's like I get encouraged and blessed, because you want to honor God with your life, with what he's been teaching you. You've been involved in a lot of things late, even teaching. And so what would you like to share today?
Well, I have something totally different to share, but I won't share that, only because the psalm you read. And I want to make some clarifications for some people, because I think that there are some things here that are tough for people. I mean, this is a great psalm. I mean, I just love that it says, you know, the praise of the Lord will always be on my lips. The afflicted hear and rejoice. You know, let us exalt his name. I mean, this psalm says, hey, wherever you are, you know, you can praise the Lord with your lips and with your very being, with who you are. And why? Because he delivered you from all your fears. You know, the people who follow the Lord, their faces are not covered with shame. I mean, this is a great passage. But when you get down to verse 9, you have a tough spot for some people. And there's probably maybe some people listening, or who maybe you scanned a dial, you landed here. It was a divine appointment as you're in the car, because I don't believe that you land on this radio station just on accident, because I don't believe in accidents. I believe in being led by the Spirit. I believe in divine appointments. I don't believe in just you getting there by happenstance. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those, and that blessed, they say, is the word ashrei, and the word ashrei means lucky without any connotation of chance. Hmm. So I don't think he just landed here. But verse 9 says, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. And there are some of us who maybe we're living in this unhealthy spot with our relationship with God, where we think God is kind of the ogre. I mean, how many of you maybe grew up with a dad who had a really stern hand? You know, I grew up in a home where my dad was not necessarily very God-honoring, and my dad had a temper. And when I first came wholly to the Lord, I mean, I struggled a little bit with, is God an angry dad? Mm-hmm. You know, is my Abba father very much like my earthly father, angry at me, and I need to do a lot for him so that he won't be mad at me? You know, and sometimes I would, you know, I would hear the silence, and I would, you know, I wouldn't hear anything. It would be silence. And I would go, is he not talking to me because he's mad? Did I do something wrong? And I would read passages like, you know, fear the Lord, you his saints. And I would be like, oh, I'm a saint. Thank you, Lord. And I'm scared of you. Then I realized that's not the healthy place to be. And that's not where God desires you be. This fear that comes from the Lord, it's not a fear of like, oh, my goodness, the lightning could come down at any minute. It's a fear of, this is the greatest relationship I have, and I don't want to lose it. I have a healthy fear in my marriage that I don't want to lose this woman. I want to honor her with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I want to serve her well, not because I'm scared, not because out of a place of fear, earthly fear, but out of a place of like, there's a lot to lose here. I mean, this is a really blessed, I married way above where I should have been. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you always marry up. And I certainly did, like 100 floors up, I married. And so I just don't want people to read passages like this and think that this is God the ogre who stands above you and you have to be scared. You know, we're not living a life under God. We're living a life with God. God by his Spirit is right here, right now, speaking, living, moving, and active, wanting to work in and through us. God is not somewhere way above us and we have to pay a penance in order for God to smile upon us. God loves you. And he loves you simply because you are. He loves you because he created you. His fingerprints are all over you. You know, I was doing some counseling quite a while back, and there was a young girl. And she came in and her parents asked if I would do this counseling. And I said, I would love to. And we sat down and mom and dad were in the room. And I said, so what's going on? Tell me what's going on. And she pulled her sleeve down and she had all these red marks.
Cutting herself.
It was the cutting thing. And I said, well, tell me what's going on. And she goes, well, I'm not beautiful. I mean, I don't have any potential. I mean, I don't feel very good about myself. I mean, nobody loves me. Nobody's probably ever going to love me. And I just looked at her, and this was a beautiful young girl. I mean, this was a girl who I go, she's beautiful both inside and out. And I had two choices in that moment. I'm like, okay, I can go clinical, and now we can talk about clinically why you shouldn't cut yourself and blah, blah. And I just looked and I go, because in Christian counseling, the Holy Spirit is always the third person in the room. Holy Spirit is always the other. In fact, you defer in counseling to the Holy Spirit. And I really felt the Spirit say, ask her what she thinks about God. And so I asked her, and she goes, oh, well, you know, the God I read in the Bible, he's glorious. He's majestic. I mean, it says he's like light and he's beautiful. I mean, she named a couple of verses that she knew. I mean, obviously, she comes from a God-honoring family, and she was just saying, God is beautiful. And I go, do you realize that God's hands are all over you? Mm-hmm. You're made in his image. I mean, the metaphors for the potter whose fingerprints are left on the clay as he molds you and he makes you into the thing that he desires you to be. I said, and so when you cut yourself, I mean, it's almost like you're throwing paint at the most beautiful painting you've ever seen. Hmm. And it was just a powerful time, but she had come into this place where it was like a fear of God. Mm-hmm. And she lost sight of who God made her be. So I just wanted to point that out because that passage there, I know that a lot of people, when I sit down with them, they have a real tough time with the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is simply that this relationship with God is one that I don't ever want to create distance between. I mean, that's why sin breaks our heart, because any kind of sin creates distance between us and God. It stops a conversation because we feel like we have to hide it away or we have to hide away. You know, that's why repentance is so powerful, because we don't want to have distance between us and God. Repentance is the steps back towards God so that we don't have that distance. Because God wants to be right next to you. He wants to be right there in the room. He doesn't want distance between you and him. You know, I often say, if God is silent, who stopped talking? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally, it's me. I'm the one who stopped talking. You know, because I'm hiding something. There's something I can't give up. There's something I can't repent. I've made it more about me and less about God. So I just wanted to talk about that in terms of that passage. And the other part of that that I really liked, that Mark, since he brought it up, and it was a conversation we had 40 minutes ago, yeah. I think, yeah. Is the next part of that, it says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And we were talking about some of the ways that we see some metaphors and connections to this idea of the lion, you know, which later in the New Testament, I believe it's in Peter, says, your enemy...
Satan roars.
Yeah, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And here it talks about the lions. There's a great passage in the Judges, chapter 14 and verse 6, it was like, I read it last week, and it was one of those ones that when I read this passage, I like jumped out of my seat and I was all pumped up. But it's talking about Samson, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as one might have torn a young goat. So the Spirit of the Lord, which we know as the Holy Spirit, comes upon Samson, and he's able to tear a lion in half like you would tear a little goat in half. And I don't even know about this, because I can't even tear a goat in half, yeah. Let alone a lion. But me and Mark were talking about, we were saying, well, is this like a metaphor? Is God speaking in these metaphors when he uses this lion? I mean, obviously it's a physical lion, but is it also a metaphor for the Holy Spirit comes into Samson and he tears apart the lion, this metaphor for the devil or for Satan? I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there, wrestling this with you. Oh, wrestling is not, we don't use that word anymore, right? I'm hugging this out with you on the air.
You have to tune in to last Wednesday's broadcast at greatnewsradio.org to get that joke.
But we no longer tackle or wrestle Scripture. We hug our way through it.
Yes.
But I was just, for the last week, I've been really looking at all these Holy Spirit passages in the Bible, because I think we're living below our inheritance where the Spirit is concerned. And that passage there says the Spirit came into him and he was able to tear this lion in half. In Job chapter 27, I shared this in church on Sunday morning. As long as Job chapter 27 and verse 3, as long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, My lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will utter no deceit. And the word breath there is Strong's, if you're a concordance buff, Strong's 8120, and it's ruah. It's the same word for spirit. So what it's saying here is as long as I have life in me, as long as I'm alive, and as long as I'm breathing the spirit, I won't speak wickedness, and my tongue will utter no deceit. Interesting, on Sunday night I was teaching Awana. I teach like the fourth, fifth, sixth, and I think they're like seventh graders. They're a rascally bunch, that's what I do know. And I was talking about the Holy Spirit with them. I was talking about that passage in John chapter 16 where he says, I'm going to send another guy to you. I'm going to send a counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He's going to come. And then I read this passage in Job to him. And I said, you know, as long as I have life in me, so as long as you're alive and as long as you're breathing, and then if you're out there and you can turn over into Galatians in chapter 5, and this is the one that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I love these metaphors here. As long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm stepping, the Spirit is in every one of my breaths. The Spirit is in every one of my steps. And then what do those steps embody? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, it's this picture of the Spirit being in you in everything, not just in some things, but in everything, in your steps and in your breath. I mean, how encouraging is that? I mean, I want to do this for a second. I mean, I don't know how this plays out over the radio, so it might seem like dead air. But we'll just go with it. But I want you to stop a moment, because if you're driving, you can even do this. Just quiet yourself for a moment and take a deep breath. And then a breath out. Do you realize the Holy Spirit was just in the breath in and the breath out? And when you get out of your car, or you get up from the computer, or whatever you're going to do next, and you take that first step, I would say just stop for a moment and say, man, the Spirit was just in that step. You know, it's becoming aware of where the Holy Spirit is in your life. Because some of us would say, well, yeah, you know, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's a church. Well, he's not at church. Church is only one place. And you know what? I think he only goes there because we go there on Sunday. He'd rather be with you every single moment of the day and every one of your breaths and every single one of your steps. And Mark just wants to say something. I can see it.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, but there's a real importance, either a surrendering or a submitting or a walking in cadence, because we can operate in the flesh. So there's that intentionality on our part, like you're saying, when you breathe, when you think about them, when you think about God's word, to say, Holy Spirit, help me walk in cadence with your leading.
Right.
Help me be attentive to what you want me to say and share. And so there's kind of a part of us that has to, I don't know if you'd say relinquish control to him, but allow him to work in and through you, because we can go about and have profanity come out of our mouth or something that's not the breath of God.
Right. And see, in that submission, like that passage says, as long as I live and I breathe, breathing the Spirit, I will utter no wickedness. So I think that that's almost a test. I mean, if you open up your mouth and something not kind comes out of your mouth. Look, if you open up your mouth and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control don't come out of your mouth in one form or another, then you might want to go, whoa, time out. I need to get back. Because that passage in Job says, as long as I breathe and live the Spirit, these things won't come out of my mouth. So if you find yourself in a position where you're going, hey, you know what, I can't offer encouragement in this moment to this person. I mean, you open up your mouth and something other than encouragement or love, joy, peace comes out of your mouth. That might be a great point to stop, back up, and go, Holy Spirit, I just need you to lead and guide in this
moment. Yeah, recalibrate me right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that's the whole thing, living in step with the Spirit. That means being in tune with the Spirit. That, you know, I think I played, before I came in the studio today, I spent about 20 minutes just playing the guitar. It's something that I pick up an acoustic guitar and I just play just to get, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like oiling the hinges for me sometimes. It just helps me to unwind. It's something totally right side of the brain, not left side of the brain. And sometimes I think that you have to do that. You have to pull away and you have to say, God, you know, help me right now, God, to find more of you and less of me here. I mean, this humility. And I want to be the first to step forward. I'll tell you this, because I think I shared this from the pulpit on Sunday morning. And I was talking out of Philippians about where it talks about where Christ humbled himself and he became like a man, in appearance as a man. And I said from the pulpit, you know, I said, I was talking about humbling and being willing in that, a willingness in that humbling. And I said, you know, would I be willing enough to stand here in this pulpit and have it be nothing about me and all about Jesus? You know, no desire to hear people laugh, no desire for there to be more people in the seats, no desire to hear good job after the sermon, no desire to be liked or to be loved, but my only desire to have people fall deeper in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know what was really interesting out of that is at the beginning of the sermon, I shared this. It's like a text messaging thing that was on there. It's all about these text messaging codes for senior citizens. It's really funny. If you can find it on the internet, it's really funny. But afterwards, somebody came up to me and they said, you know, that really didn't connect to the sermon. I get you just wanted to share it. And I go, yeah, I just wanted to share it. And then later on in the day, because after I preach, I always go and I pray and I just say, God, you know, God, what in that was you and what in that was just me? And God goes, you know that part where you said that you didn't want it to be about you, to be laughed or to be liked or to be that? He goes, you know, in the beginning, you did that because you just wanted people to laugh. And you wanted people to like what you were going to give them. And you wanted people to do that. And I really felt it was interesting because the guy said, well, that wasn't connected to the sermon. And God goes, no, that was connected to the sermon. That was so that you could learn that it doesn't have to be funny and you don't have to get any laughs. And if you are going to, then I'll orchestrate that. Mm-hmm. But it's not about that. And so in terms of my own humility, I go, I still got a little bit of ground I need to cover here.
Yeah, as do we all. And I appreciate your transparency and vulnerability and your heart for growing and learning and developing. And that's what I loved about Monday and Tuesday's broadcast with author and speaker Michelle Holloman about God Unwrapped. God is love, but not the kind you are used to. And as you shared about your dad, how oftentimes we indict God the Father according to how our earthly dads treated us or didn't treat us. And we really need to grasp how greatly God does, in fact, love us. And that word fear, it's more of an awesome respect.
Right.
It's not like the Halloween fright. It's God is a holy, sovereign, wonderful God, and he's to be revered and loved and drawn to. So please draw near to God today, and I promise you he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.